Okay, so because the strike is still going on and it's still not over yet, and I received some emails from other students saying that they have some difficulties coming to classes. So starting today's lecture, I'm going to record the lecture. So in case, for those who cannot attend the class, they can still have a chance to listen to what I have said in the lecture. So some new information about second test is that we're going to delay the date for the second test. So instead of going to be on March 25th, it will be postponed one more week. So that should be April 1st. Okay, so that's not a joke. So it's April 1st. So now the second question is, we are not sure that if we will be able to get the TAs back. So in terms of the second test, there's a very high chance that we're going to change the format of the test to all multiple choice questions. Okay, so if that's the case, you will have 15 minutes to do all multiple choice questions, and you will answer all the answers on a Scantron form. Okay, so I will give you more updates about the test, hopefully by early next week. Okay, so but in terms of the test materials, it's still on chapter 4 and 5 from the textbook, and chapter 3, 4, 5, and 6 from the grade manual. Okay. So in terms of the final exam, the format is still the same. It's still going to be all multiple choice questions. Okay, so today we'll continue on the grade manual, chapter 6. So for chapter 6, I have put up some additional notes about how to do all those exercises for this particular chapter. So essentially what we have mentioned on Wednesday is the use of three different functions, the kindIf function, the sumIf, and there are three more additional functions that we will talk about today. Okay, so what I have put here essentially is the basic structure when we want to use these functions. So for example, if we go back to the kindIf function, so if you go back to the first exercise where we will count the occurrence of the certain integers in a list of numbers, so where the list consists of 300 numbers and each value is randomly generated between 1 and 20. So the basic structure is that we're going to have the range of numbers that we will going to evaluate. So the range in this case is those 300 numbers. So the criteria in this case, if we go back to the first exercise, the criteria will be the number from 1 to 20, and we want to see if how many times those numbers appear in the range. So the second column in the same worksheet where we put the criteria, we will put the kindIf function if you want to count the number of those values between 1 and 20 in this exercise. So this is just the basic structure. So just give you more ideas how to use this particular function. And same thing I have also put up for the sumIf function. The sumIf function is very similar to the kindIf function. If you recall from the previous lecture, we have to provide the criteria, and we have the range of cells that we want to evaluate, but we have the additional column that we will go ahead and calculate the sum of those numerical values if the criteria is true. So if you look at the basic structure of the sumIf statement, we have the range, the criteria, but we also have the sum range to evaluate the sum of the subtotal of a subset. So I have also talked about the lookup function. So the lookup function is something that we have mentioned already in the previous chapter, so in chapter 3. So again, just want to give you a quick overview about the lookup function. So the lookup function, essentially, we must have two worksheets. So the first one is the one with the original data where we call that those are the lookup values. And at the same time, we have another column which we call the result. The result essentially is the one where we have to use the lookup function. And whenever we use the lookup function, we have to create a lookup vector as well as the result vector in the additional worksheet. And one thing that we have to pay attention to that is the lookup vector in terms of the number of elements, it must be equal to the number of elements in the result vector. So this is something that we have done before, for example, in the cache pulse exercise in chapter 3. Okay, so The additional function that we will talk about today, for example, is the VLOOKUP function. So I kind of briefly talk about this function on Wednesday. So the VLOOKUP stands for a vertical lookup function, and at the same time in Excel, we also have HLOOKUP function. So what's the difference between the VLOOKUP function and the conventional lookup function? So if you look at the conventional lookup function, we only have one lookup vector and only one result vector. So in this case, we have two columns in the additional worksheet. In the VLOOKUP function, we have the option that to choose multiple result vectors. So based on one condition where we have one lookup vector, we may encounter some scenarios or conditions that we can have multiple result vectors. So in this case, the VLOOKUP function allow us to specify which result vector to be used for that particular condition. Okay, so we will take a look about how to use the VLOOKUP function in exercise 6 in this chapter. So if you look at the basic structure for the VLOOKUP function, there's some elements that are pretty much the same as the conventional lookup function. For example, we still have the lookup value. The lookup value most likely will be a column which consists of a range of cells. And then we have to provide the table array. Now the table array in this case essentially is the entire table that consists of the lookup vector as well as the result vector. Okay? And then we have to specify which column to choose from in terms of the result vector. So in this case, how Excel interpret this table is that we have column 1, 2, 3, and 4, 5, and 6, and so on. And the first column in this case will be the lookup vector, and starting from column 2 and to the rest, in this case, we have column 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So those five columns will contribute to the result vectors. And we will have to specify which column to choose from in terms of the result vector. So in this case, at the end, when Excel execute this function here, it's still similar to the lookup function, but we have to tell Excel which column to choose from in terms of the result vector. So in other words, if this column index is a constant value, so if this is a constant value less than number 2, so this will reduce back to the conventional lookup function, because now the column index is a fixed number. Okay, so another function that we will see is the match function. So the match function is, when we want to use the match function, it will return the index of the element instead of the actual elements in the array. Now when I talk about the array can be in the column direction or it can be in the row direction. So the array, you can think of, it consists of multiple elements in the same direction. So if you go into the a single column, we will go into the vertical direction. If you have a single row, you will go into the horizontal direction. So like I said, the match function returns the position of an item in an array if the certain element matches with that specified value we specify in the function. So if you look at the basic structure of the match function here, we have the lookup value again. So this is something similar to the lookup and the VLOOKUP functions. And then we have the lookup vector. So again, we will have two worksheets when we want to evaluate this match function. So for example, we have a vector here, and then we have a specified value that we want to see if it matches with any elements in this vector here. Then we will use the match function, and if it finds something that matches with one of the elements in this lookup vector, then the match function will return the position of that element. So we can look at one example. So in this case, I have put in five values in cell C5 to C10. So in this case, we have 5, 8, 9, 10, and 12. So 5 is in C5, C6 we have 8, C7 we have 9, and so on. So if you want to use the match function in this format here, so what we have is we have 10 as the lookup value, and the lookup vector is C5 to C10. And the lookup value in this case is 10. And if you go back to the original array of vector in this case, we have number 10 in position number 4. So when we use the match function, Excel will return the number 4 in this case. Okay, so we're going to use this match function and combine this one with the VLOOKUP function to do exercise 6. Okay, so just a general idea, what is exercise 6 about? So exercise 6, if you open the file, we will have four columns. We have the name, we have the different faculties, and we have the score for that corresponding individual. And our objective is we want to assign a letter grade for that particular score. Now, if we look at the faculty column here, we have three different faculties. We have graduate, arts, and science. So this is in the class worksheet. So if you go to the table, we see that the letter grade is essentially different in some cases for different faculties. So if you look at the first case here, we are in the graduate faculty, and the score is 59. So if you go to the table, if you look at graduate here now, when we interpret column A here, essentially what this range means is that the first range here is the value that is equal to or greater than 0 but less than 40. The second range is the value equal to or greater than 40 but less than 50. So if you follow the same pattern here, a score of 59 will be in this category here, which corresponding to F according to the graduate faculty. Okay, so at the end, we will see that we should have F in cell D2. So what we were going to do is, like I said, we're going to use the match function and the VLOOKUP function to complete this exercise. So let me just try to use the match function to give us the actual position or to use the VLOOKUP function. So if I just choose the VLOOKUP function, so which is essentially under lookup and reference. So if you go down to the last one here, and if you take a look, all those input arguments here, like I said, we need to tell Excel which column to choose from in terms of the result vectors. So we have to provide this information if you want to use the VLOOKUP function. So if we go back to the table, so we can interpret this one as the column A essentially is the lookup vector, and we have column B, C, and D, they correspond to the result vectors. So we have to tell Excel which column to choose from. So in order to tell Excel which column to choose from, we can use the match function to provide that column index information. So let me use the match function first, just to show you how to do that. So if we select the match function, which is also under the lookup and reference. Before I go into this one, we should always go back to the formulas and look at the name manager to see what we have defined for you. So in this case, the first one here, we have the fact, which corresponds to the class from cell B2 to B36. So it essentially is column B. We also have faculties. So faculties, if I click on this one, you see that this is assigned to table worksheet from cell A1 to D1. So if we go to the table, it means these four cells in row 1. So pay attention to that one. And then we also have the graduate tables. The graduate table, if we take a look, this is from cell A1 to D13. So this is the entire table in the table worksheet. So this is from A1 to D13 is this table here. So if I want to use the match function, so the lookup value in this case essentially will be column B, because we want to find out which column we need to provide the column index, right? So the lookup value in this case will be fact, and the lookup array in this case, it will be essentially the first row here, because the first row is the only row that tells us which faculty it is. And so if we choose the first row here, and what it does here is, in the lookup value here, we look at the first value under fact, and then we want to check if that value, if that text is equal to one of the tags in faculties. For example, in this case, the first one is graduate. So the word graduate will check with the word graduate in the faculty's array. So in this case, like I said, you will always return the position of that element. So in this case, the match function will return the value 4. Now the match type here is something that you will have to pay attention to. So the match type here, we will use 0 to represent that the match function that we're going to use is going to give us the exact match. In Excel, there are two other types of values that we can use in the match type category. So they are negative 1 and positive 1. So those are some additional information that you can take a look and the help function here. I don't want to go into too much details, but the negative 1 and 1 essentially are more specific requirement when you want to use the match function. But if you want to find the exact match, so the match type here should be 0. So if I click OK, so this gives me a value of 4 because, like I said, graduate, if you take a look in the table here, this is 1, 2, 3, and 4. Okay, so this gives us column 4 in this case. So now what we can do is, if you fill down this column here, and you will see that the second one in E3 here, we have the person, this is belong to arts. And if you go back to the table here, arts is in column 2. Okay, now this position here, of course, depends on how you define the row array here. Now, in this case, we define the row array that consists of these 4 elements. For example, if we define the elements such that the row only consists of these 3 elements, then arts now becomes the new reference point. So arts is becoming 1 instead of 2 if we define the row array like this. So it depends on how you define the arrays in the Excel. Okay, so if I go back to the class worksheet here, so what we can do is we can use the VLOOKUP function now. So the VLOOKUP function, like I said, right now we have the column index num, which is essentially we're going to include the match function that we have done to put it in the third argument here. So the first one here, which is the lookup value, of course, is the score because we want to find out the letter grade that corresponds to that particular score. So lookup array in this case will be score, and the table array in this case is essentially is the table that consists of the lookup vector and all the result vectors. So in this case, it will be the grade table. In terms of the column index num, in this case, we will have to use additional function. So we'll have to use the match function again. So remember what we have done here. So the lookup value will be fac. The lookup array will be faculties. And the match type it should be 0. So if I go back to the VLOOKUP now, we have all the information provided. The last one here, which is the range lookup, is something that the VLOOKUP function will return only a true or false value. And this is something that we don't want to do in this case. So we don't. This is an optional input argument, and you don't have to provide the information in this box. So we are happy with what we have. So we just click the check mark, and we see that the first one is F. And let me just fill down the column first. So we see that the first one is F because, like I said, the first person here is in the graduate faculty with a score of 59. So if you go back here, it's in the range between row 5 and 6 because this means any values that is equal to or greater than 55 but less than 60. Okay, and if you look at the second person, which has a score of 89, and he belongs to the arts faculty. So if you go to the arts faculty here and he has a score of 89, so that will be in this range here. So if you look at this range here, which means any values equal to or greater than 85 but less than 90, so this is the letter grade for 89. Okay, so this is essentially what you will have to do for this exercise. Now for column E, you don't have to provide that information. I just put it here for demonstration purpose. So what I have put in column D is sufficient enough to submit for this exercise. So any questions about exercise 6? No? So I believe some of you have already done this one, right? Yeah, some of you have done it already. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
In the range lookup, you will look at a certain value and return a logical value. So you will return a true or false value. So if it's evaluate something that is equal to that logical condition, you will give us a true value. Remember that when Excel evaluate the logical expression, you only return the text string true or false. It won't give us one or zero, okay? So this is something that we have already encountered in chapter four. Okay, so if you have any specific questions about match or VLOOKUP, you can always go back to the lecture slide and take a look about the basic structure of how to use those functions. So the last one is exercise 7. So let me just go back to the grade menu first. So exercise 7 starts on the page 14, and we will introduce the last function that you're going to learn in Microsoft Excel, so in this course. So it will be the index function. Index function, you can say, is kind of a continuation of what we have done with respect to the match function. Just to give you a quick overview about this whole exercise, so what we are given here is a list, again, that consists of four columns. We have the student number, the last name, first name, and the SIN number corresponding to that individual. And what we would like to do is that we will create a new worksheet where we will enter the enter something like this in figure 6.12. And we will have to provide the SIN number, and then Excel will automatically display the rest of the information. Now, the objective of this exercise is that we should only enter one single formula in cell B3, and then when we fill down the rest of the column, you will automatically give us all the information already. So this is why we want to introduce the concept of using the index function. So if you take a look, the index function in terms of the basic structure again, so we have three input arguments. So we have the array. So the array in this case is similar to the array that we have seen in the VLOOKUP function, which can be a two-dimensional array. When I said a two-dimensional array, that means it consists of the column as well as the number of rows. So the second thing that we have to provide is the row number as well as the column number when we want to use the index function. Okay, so let me just open exercise 7. Okay, so the whole concept of using the index function is that, when we first look at a spreadsheet, what we will know is that this is the first row, this is the second row, this is the first column, this is the second column, okay? Now, when we want to use the index function, because we will have an array that we will evaluate. So, for example, if I highlight this part here, we have an array that consists of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rows and 3 columns. So in this case here, this particular area will become the new reference point when we want to evaluate the index, use the index function. So because this is the first, the first row here essentially will start at number 4, and this is row 2, row 3. Column B will become the first column. So if I label this one here now, so I have 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and this is 1, 2, and 3. So this is what I have highlighted before. So what it means is that the first cell here, we will have to use the index positions to allocate the actual cell location. So the cell on the top left corner here, this one will have the index positions 1, 1, and this cell here will have the position which corresponds to 4, 2, because this is in row 4 and column 2. Okay, so just remember that when you use the index function, the particular array that you're going to evaluate will form the new reference point. Okay, so let me just delete the whole thing here, and so what you will have to do is just to implement what we have provided you in figure 6.12. Okay, so we have A1, which is the criterion. Okay, so in cell A2 to A5, of course you can type in the information here, but what we have find out is that it will be easier to reduce the chances of creating a typos. So what you can do is you can copy and paste the information that we have provided in first row here into those four cells. So for example, the first one is seen, so we can just copy this one and put it in cell A2. Same thing for A3 here, we have student number. So we put in student number in A3, and A4 is last name. And the last one is first name. Okay, so let me just pick a SIN number that we're going to evaluate. So let me pick this one here. Okay, so like I said, the whole idea or the goal of this exercise is that when I copy and paste the SIN number, then you will automatically display the rest of the information here. So what we can do is we can use the index function to give us the exact position of the element. So in this case, this is the fourth element in, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, so this is the fifth element in the SIN number. And so we can say this is in row 5, column 1 will give us the student number, row 5, column 2 will give us the last name, and row 5, column 3 will give us the first name. Okay, so in this case, we can go ahead and use two match functions. So one match function give us the column index, and one match function give us the row index. So let me just put it here, and I label this one as row, and this one as column. Again, column C and D are something that you don't have to provide in your assignment, so just whatever that I'm going to put in column B, it will be sufficient enough. So in terms of row, in this case, if you want to use the match function, so again, before I proceed, so we should check the name manager and see what we have provided for you. So we have pretty much everything given in this case. So one thing that we can should take a look is that if you take a look in titles, so the titles essentially is in the, consists of A1 to D1 in the personal worksheet. So essentially is the first row and in this worksheet here, which consists of cell A1 to D1. So this is something similar to the faculties that we have seen in exercise 6. Now, if we go back to the table here, so the table under the name manager here, it consists of the cell A1 to D143. So in this case, this means we have from this cell, actually let me highlight the table here. So essentially it's the entire table that we have given to you in the search worksheet here. Okay, so let me go ahead and use name ranges to define the number here as well. So I can use sin num. Okay, so the row in this case for this particular sin number, so what we should get, let me go back up here. We should get the number 4 because this is the fourth element in the sin column. So what we can do is we go back here and use the match function. Now the lookup array in this case will be this number here. The lookup value here will be the sin number that we want to look into. And the lookup array in this case, what should it be? Will be sin, right? Because this is the only column that we want to evaluate at this point. And match type, again, it will be 0. And we see that the result is 5. So let me click OK. So this means we're going to have the fifth element that is same as whatever that we put in cell B2. Okay. Now, in terms of the column, so the column in this case, if I go back here, we have column 1 represents the student number, column 2 for the last name, and column 3 for the first name. So what we should, let me fill this one down first. Okay, so in terms of the column here, what we would like to see is that we should have 1, 2, and 3. That is, this is what we want to see, because 5, 1 will be row 5, column 1 will be the student number, row 5, column 2 will be the last name. So this is what we would like to see, 1, 2, and 3 for the column. So again, we can use the match function again. So the match function, and so the lookup value in this case, you will be the word student number. What about the lookup array? So which one do you think we should put in for this input argument here? It should be the titles, right? Because titles essentially is, if I go back to personal, we want to look at the first, So we want to look at the first row here, which we want to evaluate if this is the first column, second column, or the third column. So what, when we enter titles here, what Excel does, it will evaluate the cell A3, well, which is student number in this case, and you will want to see if student number, the word, matches with any of this text here. So again, the match type is 0, and we should get a value of 1, because titles consist of only 4 elements which have student number, last name, first name, and C number. And the student number corresponds to the first element in the vector, in the array. So we should get a 1. And if we fill down this column here, we will get 2 and 3, because if you look at cell D4, in this case, we have, instead of A3, now the lookup value now becomes A4. So A4 is last name. So we will want to see if last name matches with any elements in titles. And that corresponds to the index position number 2. And same thing for the last one, which is the first name. So this gives us the value 3. So we can combine the two functions here using the index function to give us the actual information that we need in cell B3, B4, and B5. Okay, so let me go to lookup and reference and select the index function. And we're going to select the first one. So the array, in this case, it will be the two-dimensional array. So in this case, we have defined the table for you. The row number essentially is the match function that we have just entered. So we will use additional functions. So we have to choose the match function. And the lookup value in this case will be the sin number. Lookup array will be sin. And the match type is 0. And then we have to go back to the index function to finish the last input argument, which is the column number. So in this case, we have to use the match function again. And in this case, we will have to use, so the lookup value will be A3, and the lookup array in this case will be titles. And this is 0 for the match type. OK, so go back to the main function, which is the index function, to make sure that we have entered all the information that we need. OK, so we fill down the column, and we can check if this is right or not. So if we check the student number here, we have 2007-05-004. And we should get this number here. So this is not right, because what we got here is the previous individual. So if we look at the index function here, when we define table, so table include the first row, which is the title as well. And remember, when I defined the sin number, we defined this is the first row, second row, third row, the fourth one, and this is the fifth one. So what we need to do now is we need to go back to the actual function. So go back to the index function now. We need to add 1 so that this will offset the original way that we have defined the table. So we select OK again. So let me delete the last two and fill down the column. And this is what we should get. Okay. So of course, you can try another SIN number to see if you get the right information. So for example, if I go back to select the second individual here, we can copy and paste it in the SIN number here. Okay, so we see that Excel will automatically display the rest of the information. So we have this student number for this individual as well as the last name and the first name. Okay, so so this is what you will have to do for exercise 7. And again, column C and D is something that you don't have to provide. Okay, yes. You can do it that way, but our assumption is that you should use whatever that we have provided to you and proceed the rest of the exercise. Okay. I know that this may not be a very good way to define the table because you have to offset the difference, right? But I guess the original person who wrote this exercise is that they want the students to experience the use of the offset function in the index function. Okay. So that's it for chapter 6 of the Great Manual. And like I said, this is the last chapter for Microsoft Excel. And starting maybe towards the end of next week, I will talk about chapter 7 of the Great Manual. Now, in terms of the homework, like I said, homework 5 will be due next Tuesday. Okay, and then I will update the rest of the due dates for the rest of the assignments. Most likely, chapter 6 will be due the week after next week. So you have sufficient time to finish chapter 6. So any questions about the structure for the rest of the course? OK, so I have about 10 minutes left. So I would like to just go through one of the previous test questions about test number 2. So this is something that very likely that you will see on the test and on the exam. Okay, so this is an example of the combinational logic circuit. So it consists of multiple basic gates that we have mentioned in the class. Now, this is taken from the previous test question. So this is a short answer question. Now, in the case in multiple choice question, what we will do is we will we can still provide the same question, but we will provide multiple answers for you to choose, for example, like multiple diagrams for you to choose from, okay? So in this case, when we want to draw the circuit diagram for this particular Boolean expression, so the first glance that you look at this question is that it looks slightly complicated, but what you should do is you should always start from the inner function first and then proceed to the outer function. So in this case, you see that we have we have A, B, C, and D, four variables. So in this case, that means we should have four inputs for the logic gates. And of course, we only have a single output for this circuit. So the first one here is we see that we have the dot between A and B. Yes? This one here, right? Yes, this is the NOT gate, yes. Yep. So try to be familiar with the logical symbols that I have mentioned in the lecture. In some cases, some other instructions, they like to put the apostrophe to represent the inversion as well. So instead of seeing this, you will see this. So this represents the not inversion as well. So what we have here is we have A and B. So this is the AND gate because we have the dot between A, B. So we have the two inputs. And then we have the NOT inversion, the inversion for the input variable C. Okay, so the next thing is we have, so what is this one? Yes. Yep, so this is the XOR gate. So remember the XOR gate is very similar to the OR gate, except you need to put the additional curve at the input of the OR gate. So let me label this one. So this is the AND gate. This is the NOT gate, XOR. Okay. And then we have the OR gate with the rest of this expression here. So we can finish the rest of this expression first. So we have NOT B and D. So what we would like to do now, I can draw D first. So we have NOT B, so we need to put another wire and put a NOT gate here. So at this point, this is the inversion of B. And then we have the AND gate between B bar and D. Okay. So the output here, we will have the OR gate to as the final logic gate in this question here. Okay, so this is how you should do when you draw the circuit diagram for the Boolean expression. Okay, of course, the other way is we can give you the circuit diagram, and then you give us the Boolean expression. Okay, and so another way is that now the first part is to ask you to draw the diagram, and the second part is to create the truth table. So this is something possible that we can ask you as well. So let me go through another question again. So we have, yes. So you see this particular spot here, right? So it's called the jumper wire. So because if I don't put this one now, it's just a good practice. So if you put it right across this one, right? So it will be very confusing. So it seems that C is also going to this particular position as well. So it's a good practice or conventional way that we put like a curly wire to jump across the C input. So we know that this wire go all the way back to point B, okay? So let's look at the second example. So okay, so there are two parts for this question. The first part is we want to find out the Boolean expression. And the second part is that we want to find out the number of transistors that we need. Okay, so well, this is essentially the this is essentially the opposite of what we have done in the previous question. We've given you the circuit diagram. So okay, so again, we have three inputs and a single output. So what we would do is we would follow from the proceed from the left to the right when we write the Boolean expression. So the first one here, we have the AND gate, but the AND gate consists of two inputs, which is A and not B. So this is B bar, right? So we have A and B bar. And then on the second part here, we have a B bar, and this is the OR gate. So let me write this down. This is AND, OR, and this is NOT. So we have B bar again, and this is OR C. Okay? And then the last one here, this is the NAND gate, right? Because we have the circle after the AND gate, so this is the NAND gate. So the NAND gate, it means we want to do the AND operation, but then do the inversion for the entire expression, right? So this will be equal to Y. Okay, so any questions about yes. Well, right now you cannot, because the NOT gate, if you put it at the output, then it becomes the NAND gate, right? But now this is in the input. So let me just write this one out again. So so we have the AND gate. And this is the NOT gate, right? OK. This is a good point, because a lot of students, they make this mistake. So this is equivalent to the NAND gate. So this is the output here. OK. So remember the number of transistors we have talked about in the class. So when we want to count the total number of transistors, what you will do is you have to put down the number of transistors that are required to implement each of these logic gates, okay? So the NOT gate, if you remember that, we only need a single transistor to implement. So we have one here and one over here. What about the OR gate? Three, right? Because OR gate is the inversion for the NOR gate. So this three. What about the AND gate? Three again, right? And the last one here, this is the NAND gate. And the NAND gate is two. Okay, so it's pretty straightforward. You just need to add up the number that we just put in. So we have 2, 5, 8, and 10. So the number is 10 transistors. Okay, yes? Well, when you do the truth table, what you will do is, so in this case, you have A. What we would like to do, usually we will provide the label here. For example, this is W, this is X, okay? So when you create the truth table, we have A, B, and C as the input, and then we have W, X, and Y. Okay, so how many rows will we have? Eight, right? Because we have three inputs, so that will be 2 to the power 3. So the first one here, again, this will be 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 1, 0, 1, 0, 0, 1, 1, 1, 0, 0, 1, 0, 1, 1, 1, 0, and 1, 1, 1. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Yes. Yeah, that depends on which labels that we provide you in the question. Okay, if we only now the main idea of using the truth table, actually, you should only display the inputs and the output. Now the intermediate stages is just there to help you to evaluate the final value. Okay. Well, you can still depends on the question, right? So in this case, we only ask these 2 points, but in your draft paper, you can create another truth table to do the not B as well. Okay. Yes, that's right. Yes. So in this case, we look at the first row here. The first one here, we have A and B bar, right? So we know that in this case, so B bar in this case, this will become 1, 1, 0, 0, 1, 1, 0, 0. Okay, so the AND gate, we know that the W will only be equal to 1 if the two inputs are equal to 1. So in this case, we have 1, 1, 0, 0, 1, 1. So this will be 1 and 1. This will be 0, 0. So we have 0 for the rest of it. Okay? Okay. So B, this is column B, right? So B bar in this case will be 1, 1, 0, 0, 1, 1. 0, 0. Okay? Now, on the test, right, if it's easier for you, then you can just write it on the side and then erase it. Okay? So you can still write 1, 1, 0, 0, 1, 1, 0, 0. This is like B bar, right? Something like that. So it may be easier for you to evaluate the function. So it's just in this question, we didn't label this one. Sometimes we do label this one as well, then it might be easier for you to evaluate, right? So So we do the same thing for X. So for X will be B bar and C. So we know that the OR gate will give us a 1 in all three cases except when both inputs are equal to 0. So in this case, again, we look at B bar. So we have 1, 1, 0, 0. So we have 1, 1, 0, 0. So we have a 0 here. And then we have 1, 1, 0, 0. So that means we have 0 here again, right? So let me just write this one down if it's difficult for you to see. Okay, so we look at these two columns here. Okay, so this is the cases where we have two zeros and same thing here. And the rest, this would be equal to 1. Okay, now the last one now is the NAND gate. The NAND gate, again, if it's difficult for you to visualize, what you can do is you can just draw out the truth table of the NAND gate. So we have X. Okay, let me just put on the same thing here. So we have W and X. This is Y, right? And the output in this case will be 1, 1, 1, 0. So this is the characteristics of the NAND gate, right? So, and then you can fill out the last column here based on this information here. Okay? So in this case, we have 0, 0. This is 1, 1, 1, 1, 0, 0, 1, 1. To be honest with you, it will be a little bit difficult to ask you a question if it's a multiple choice question. This question is taken from the short answer question, so that's why you will have to create a truth table. Because, to come up with 5 different answers for all the truth table, it will be difficult for you to visualize as well. So I think if we want to ask you to create a truth table, you will be a simplified logical circuit. Okay, you won't be that complicated. Okay, so any questions about these two examples? No? Okay, so like I said, Monday I won't be here, but the other instructor will help me to give the lecture and continue on the second part of chapter 5. Okay? So I'll see you guys on Wednesday.